Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor. It can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. How are you, gentlemen, this evening?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. I'm doing very good, Brother Bill. Very good.
Wonderful. Good. Very good, Brother Bob.
Audience, we would like to proceed with our Pale Horse study after current events. We have a couple of short studies that have been on each other's hearts. Now, basically, the stand of our show is we didn't participate in Christmas. For me, it was the first year, and it is a growth process and recognition. Brother Chris, how did you do this year with Christmas?
Yeah, I had a hard time. My family is so big on Christmas, but obviously with my situation now, you know, having just been, you know, divorced and not really part of my family in that way anymore, it was, I was detached, so it wasn't as much of a challenge. And I got through it. You know, we did exchange gifts. And I just, dialogued about it. Actually, when we came to visit you last week, Bob, it was really a good thing for my kids to see your family. And we had a talk on the way over there. Honestly, it was the first time I actually dropped a bomb on them. But it was funny. My one daughter, my oldest daughter, was aware of it, aware of some of the issues. And I'm just, I just felt like I set the stage for next year to just really... next year I will definitely, make a stand on the whole thing, and a lot of it's on it is education. You know, it's pretty clear that the thing was, this is 100 years ago. I saw studies about it being, them fighting it, having it established as a tradition, like in New England even. Up to just 100 years ago. Have you ever seen that?
Well, it's been a while since I've read on that particular subject, but I don't think that Christmas was entertained in the U.S. basically before 1850.
Yeah, that's about it. Sounds right.
I'm not certain on that, so I don't want to, say thus saith the Lord, but I think it was pretty much understood that it was just a pagan Catholic celebration. By the Puritans and by the Pilgrims, and I don't believe it started getting roots till around 1850, and the first Christmas cards were in mass production after the Civil War.
Oh, really?
But they, once again, the church had a little more understanding 200 years ago than they have today, or what should I say, a lot more understanding.
It's just such a dilemma, because, so much of it, the thought of families getting together and all that is just wonderful, but then when the merchandising aspect comes in and all the imagery, we see so clearly the teachings in scripture about images, and the emphasis that the Lord puts on that, and you really get a hold of what we're really talking about when you really understand what's really taking place with all this imagery going on.
Total imagery.
Yeah, and what's behind this imagery? You know, it's easy to close your eyes to it, but you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I mean, it's not. There's no excuse when you're exposed to the truth, and to ignore it. It's just not okay. And you know, you think about the Santa Clauses and the tree and the wreath and all that stuff and what it means. It's just impossible for a remnant believer seeking the Lord to ignore. You can't. You just can't. You have to deal with it.
No, you can't ignore it. And plus the spiritual imagery also. The children learn to fear Santa Claus, or they learn to fear to be good because Santa Claus won't bring them something. And, you know, instead of the imagery, the proper understanding is we're to fear the Lord. And so, you know, we get afraid that Santa Claus won't bring us. It's a form of mind manipulation.
Well, I want to recount some scripture for the audience. If you're new to this show, audience, we Threshing Floor Ministry has done a 21-page document on the graven images of Christmas. And that'll be attached. That is currently up right now, but it'll be linked. And I'd just like to read out of that for a minute, just so you understand if you're new to this show. This is Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, there's 21 pages of scripture and the scripture rendering to properly identify Christmas as a idol worship, heathen, pagan references. But in the pre-show, we likened it to, if you did not participate in Christmas this year, we kind of had a rendering that it seemed like you were surrounded. Brother Bill?
Yeah, we are kind of all isolationists in my family. All of my family and everyone I know celebrates Christmas, but we don't have any hard feelings or hard, you know, people, they don't really care if we celebrate it or not. So there's not a venom there, at least not in our immediate family, which is a good thing. I know a few people that have been fighting kind of with the venomous spirit in this Christmas with their families. And, yeah, we didn't have any. My wife fixed a nice dinner yesterday, and, you know, but it wasn't because of Christmas. And we just had my grandson, my wife, and me. I wanted to address the nativity scene for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
I did this in one of the, I think the first study that I put out on the Christmas. This is basic gospel. And once again, they have got this so wrong. The idea of gift giving and stuff, well, we know that it came from the Roman Saturnalius holiday where they make a list for gifts. I think Sue Patterson went over that in that very excellent program that they presented. But we would see these little shows like the Drummer Boy, and they were there with all kinds of gifts for Jesus and celebrating his birthday. So we can give gifts to each other too. In basic scripture, if you read it, there were no gifts at Jesus' birth. You know, there was angelic messengers there to proclaim Christ's birth. They were common humble shepherds of the field. and they were the only ones in attendance. And that's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. They brought no gifts, just worship. So they didn't have all of these gifts that everybody thinks. And the wise men didn't show up approximately till 1.5 to 2 years after that. And the wise men, never says there was three wise men. We could assume maybe there was three wise men because there was frankincense, myrrh, and gold they brought. So you could possibly assume that there were three wise men. That does use the word men, so that means probably more than one. But they brought the gold there and the warning of King Herod, actually. And the gold was for... is God always provides a way for his people. Mary and Joseph were very poor, and they had to leave the country and go to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. So God provided there. He provided gold for them. That's what the gold was for. And there was no wise men at all at Mary's, at Jesus' birth in the manger. And there was no gifts. And it's clearly in Scripture. If you want to read about the wise men, it's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. And Mary and them had already had a house, and they were living in Israel then. And then they brought the three gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. So you would possibly, could you assume there was three men, wise men? I would say that's probably a reasonable assumption, yes. And they had to give the lesser of, they couldn't even give the lamb for sacrifice because they were too poor when Jesus was born. So this is in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 through 8. You can go in and read about these sacrifices. So they had to give the lesser of the two sacrifices, which was two turtle doves. It was required for the firstborn son in Luke chapter 2, 22 and 22, 24. So if they had all these gifts that everybody thinks that when Jesus was there surrounded by gifts, they certainly would have not have been able. They certainly would have been able to give the greater sacrifice of the lamb, which was required. But they were too poor to give that. And like I said, the only gift that they got of value was the gold, and that was specifically God had them bring that gold to provide them for a way to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod.
Very interesting.
And this is basic scripture. This is something that a pastor or an elder at the church should know. Somebody that's been to seminary, somebody that does any studying in the Bible should just know this.
Oh.
We're not talking deep metaphoric language here. We're not talking God's secret here.
It just shows you the power of the traditions of men.
The power of traditions of men, right.
In corrupting the entire gospel for their own purpose.
Because we've always done it that way.
That Scrooge movie was a big dialectic. That's where they got this ruining everybody's Christmas. You know, Scrooge was going to ruin everyone's Christmas, and they were doing the big dialectic there. And then, both sides being in a lie. I mean, basically, Scrooge probably was an evil slave master. I don't doubt that. And then Bob Cratchit, he's worshiping a pagan holiday. So they do the dialectic, and Scrooge moves over and joins in with the pagan holiday. And then, of course, and then now everybody's, it's for the good of all, right?
Uh-huh.
That did a lot of conditioning in people's minds.
Yes, it is, because you recount, they always program you to say, remember what your favorite memory is, and everybody goes, reverts automatically to Christmas.
Yes, because you're a child and you remember these memories as a child. Absolutely.
And it's too bad because the day could be wonderful if it was all biblical and, gathering the families together. I mean, that's a great idea.
Praise of the Lord.
Do it to praise the Lord together, yeah, and, have a feast and whatever. But, yeah, the way it's gotten so, commercialized and like we said, the imagery, it's just sad.
And the all of the effort and the treadmill behind it. I've often said, if you really want to know what Christmas is, watch the movie Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
That's what Christmas is.
Oh, gosh.
It's a huge treadmill, or say a gigantic heavy yoke that they take upon themselves.
Yeah, I caught about a half hour of that this year with new eyes, for sure. I couldn't believe it. I thought that same thought, Bill. I said, this is it. This is the prime example of everything we're coming up against now. This is what it is. So, yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. Oh, gosh, the plastic Santa Claus in the front yard when he was kicking it. I just thought, you know, that's some symbology right there.
The only guy that had any sense in the movie was Eddie.
Who's that, the brother-in-law?
Yeah, his brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
He was actually the sharpest character in the show.
Yeah.
Now, do you recognize the current events that we're dealing with? That actor sought asylum in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Because he thought he was targeted by a group.
Uh-huh. In Hollywood.
And
you
following that?
I am. It's on Randy's website, on the threshing floor.
Yeah, I've watched that little video, yeah.
Yeah. Ironic.
Well, yeah, anybody that has the truth.
Yes, it's totally truth.
No, I said if anybody has some truth or whatever, you know, the establishment will come after you.
The hatred for the truth is really what we're dealing with today.
Well, the truth, there comes a point, and we've been... I remember in August, we're in the eye of the storm. And then November, December, it's been a separation process. Divisions. Spiritual divisions between fleshly recognition and spiritual recognition. And that recognition is of spiritual Israel and fleshly Israel. And the more I went through the Christmas... season, so to speak, and recognize I was going to participate in Christmas. It was very difficult in terms of being surrounded by everything Christmas. But in recounting those scriptures, in recognition, you could see the great wrong of idol worship. And how that idol worship actually infiltrates into your house.
Oh boy!
How do you agree with that?
It sure does.
Yeah, it comes like an ether into your house.
And recounting, audience, that if you've participated in Christmas, I would encourage you to download the study notes on the graven images of Christmas. They can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and come to your own recognition of the truth of Christmas. Not because the Joe Lunchbox crew said so, but the scriptures say so.
Yeah, we're just bringing it to your attention.
And it was very difficult to do a show on Christmas. Brother Bill had a breakout study, excellent show, breaking down some of the... scriptural Christmas, and again our study by the threshing floor. If you're new to the show, please take a look at that for yourself. Study yourself approved on this issue, because it's a troubling issue for everyone. Anybody like to add to that?
Well, it's just another troubling issue, you know, and it's a big one. But you know, we're just these major points of conflict that are coming to the forefront now, you know, namely Israel, which we know how volatile that one is, and you know, the truth, how divisive the truth is when we talk about Israel, and the understanding that that the Christians are Israel, not the state of Israel. And all the surrounding conflict involved there with deception. And then, boy, the venom that comes out over the King James Bible is another one that we've seen. People defending the modern translations and all that. And here's just another one to deal with. And this is all it is now. I just believe it's just all part of the threshing floor. It's all part of the harvest. The harvest is the separation, which is what's taking place. And you know, we've just got to prepare, because it's just going to continue, and there's just going to be more and more division where God is separating out his people, You know, he's coming for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's not coming for all of Israel, because all of Israel is not Israel. He's coming for his people. You know, he's pulling his people out right now, and that's what this is all about. This is all manifestations of that. And, you know, we better just be able to deal with it, because this is what our future holds. But it's standing for the truth and following the Lamb wherever he goeth is what it's all about. And he will, you know, he will lead us, you know. We have to know that. But it's not going to get any easier, that's for sure.
In audience, if you're feeling a little dismayed, not only at the season, but the anxiety of separation, your walk with your Lord Jesus Christ, just recount his metaphors. You are the holy temple of the Lord yourself. You are in the Spirit, and you are recognizing these things that are happening around you on a, you could say, a worldly level, or you could say they were happening at your own church. But there is this type of wrestling going on currently. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
No. So here's a kind of a way to look at dealing with Christmas, too, in 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. So, but neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. You got to start drinking a little bit of wine, for their infirmities, their spiritual infirmities. You start absorbing some of the gospel and some of the truth. And, it says to keep thyself pure there. And to keep thyself pure is addressed even in Isaiah, and the same thing about the wine and the water in chapter 1, verse 22 in Isaiah. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. And, that's the mingling there. It builds up all the dross all over the silver, and you can't reflect the light of God because you got dross all over you. So he tells you, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thy often infirmities. You know, they got spiritual infirmities that need to be cured, spiritual sicknesses. And, that's from partaking, as it says in the prior verse, the partaker of men's sins. So, you know, and you get out of Christmas, it doesn't mean you hate them. It says, lay no hand suddenly on no man. So, that, you know, how did Paul say? He said, we are to be enemies for the gospel's sake, but beloved for the Father's sake. So we don't have to war over this Christmas, but, you know, you have to start drinking a little bit of wine to cure your spiritual infirmities. And to start to separate yourself from the partakers of others who are partaking in sins.
And I don't begrudge my neighbors. I'm not going to go out and tell little kids that, there's no Santa.
Okay. That's not our job. And when you're doing that, actually, you're creating war with God, and that's not what he wants us to do.
No.
It's your house that needs to be in order. It's your understanding of Scripture through the Holy Spirit. And what the story Bill was recounting is, we have to go back to Jesus' first miracle, changing of the water to wine.
Yep.
And you'll recount that the steward or the porter who was over that celebration had said, usually people bring out the moonshine or the cheap wine.
The ripple?
The ripple. The
Fred Sanford used to have his ripple.
Yes.
Or Muscatel.
The Boone's Farms.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of that real cheap wine. I can't, but anyway, it's
Pinata?
No, it's Mad Dog.
Mad Dog, yeah. I remember the Muscatel and Ripple.
Yes.
Fred Sanford used to always have Ripple. He'd say, well, they brought champagne. He goes, I'll have my Ripple to it, and we'll have Champipple.
Oh, no.
In recounting that, remember, audience, these were stone vessels. Okay, so the water was changed to wine in a stone vessel. If you are to be lively stones built on the cheap cornerstone, not hewed with human hands. That is our Lord Jesus Christ in a metaphorical examination, you'll find that the lively stones are built into that wall, surrounded by 12 gates, which are the apostles' teachings, and that's on the inner court, not on the outer court, where the Gentiles trample. Anybody like to add to that?
Right, that's the inner court. That's where you want to be. That's Mount Zion with the Lamb.
Yeah.
All of the four winds of destruction can come upon the outer court.
Yeah.
And that's when the armies of encompass, you know, and when you see the armies he's encompassing Jerusalem, that's the outer court there. Go not back to get your coat.
And I'd just like to recount something that went back to what we were originally discussing, and that is in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And when we were talking about being dismayed, you're not to be dismayed. Okay, but here's the proper rendering and who is going to be dismayed. And it's G120, it's to be spiritless. That is disheartened, be dismayed. And the second proper rendering is a primitive root to tremble inwardly. Now when we recount this, people that will go through the tribulation will be trembling inwardly. That is figuratively, be causatively, make suddenly, alarmed or agitated by implication to hasten anxiously, be affrighted, afraid, amazed, rash, beget, make haste, give speedy, thrust out, trouble, vex. And one more, because I drilled down on this to give a proper rendering, so you're not dismayed, audience. You are not to be dismayed. But here's what you'll see when the tribulation comes upon us. And it's to tremble, it's to be crushed. Also afraid, terror, broken, dismayed, dread, fear. Now, when you drill down on what will happen to people around you, they will be dismayed. They will be all of those things that I just recounted. It's part of this process. And in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And here's the recognition of rebellious. Backsliding, revolter, slide backs, stubborn, withdraw. And rebellious is also apostate. That is idolatrous. Backsliding, fraudward, turn away. Anyone like to add to that?
Well, I love that verse. Don't look at their faces. But boy, I think about that all the time. You know, I just feel like Jeremiah. I identify with Jeremiah. Talk about his words falling on deaf ears. Oh, I identify with Jeremiah. We just got to keep putting it out there.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to break away just briefly, because we want to do one more study after current events. Brother Chris, what do you have for current events?
Yeah, I'm just going to make a mention of something I'm seeing now with Jonathan Pollard's back in the news again. He's you know, the Israeli spy that was caught in the mid-'80s, you know, just stealing a lot of documents that he got caught, and he's been in jail since. And every once in a while, they make a move to get him out of jail. Clinton was about to excuse him, I understand, in the early 90s, and then that fell through. And this is the weird thing, is that he was really in the news when right before 9/11. I didn't know about it, but it's a fact that he was. They were making a deal with him then, and then that kind of fell. Something happened. I don't know, but he is in our face right now, where Netanyahu is officially making a public appeal to Obama to pardon him. It's something to watch. That's all I'm going to say, because something's going on. Because I know one thing: they're trying to get this war lit off over there, and people are just not going to buy it like they did the 9/11 thing. There's just too many people awake, and they know it. And they're going to have some major event to win the hearts of the multitude to support this thing. And, it's just these signs that are out there right now. Something's going on. There's something going on. Something to keep an eye on. So I would, advise the listeners to, type in Jonathan Pollard. Keep your eye on that one. There's something significant going on there. And that's really all I have right now tonight.
So the they're trying to get this man was a spy and sentenced to prison in the United States. Which, Bill, back in the 40s, wasn't that, you were shot, weren't you, or hung? What did they do to the spies back then?
Well, I guess they were shot, yeah, depending on where you were, I suppose. In Nazi Germany, I think they shot you.
Oh, there's an Israeli spy in Iran right now sentenced to death. They just sentenced him. I don't know if that yesterday. Oh, yeah, this is, But there's something real fishy with Jonathan Pollard. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't put my finger on it.
Never good when dealing with physical Israel.
No. Let me tell you what. I'm just seeing, this manipulation with this WikiLeaks. And, I mean, these people, these leaders of physical Israel are just pure evil. They really are. I mean, there's just no... minimizing it. They will stop at nothing to get what they want. It's just absolutely amazing. It is absolutely amazing the level of evil that they're capable of.
Well, I can tell you who their forefathers were in recent history. If you just take a look at who was that guy that set up the Homeland Security, Shurtov.
Oh, yeah.
He's a carbon. Just look at him. He's a carbon copy of the Marxist Lenin. He could pass for his double.
Yeah.
This is where all of these people came out of the Communist Party.
Yeah, they sure did.
The biggest murder. They made Hitler look like a Boy Scout.
I know.
And yet we don't really. All we hear about is Hitler.
We don't hear that. Yeah.
He's selling. That guy is selling all of the scanning equipment to the airports. His company.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
There's no conflict of interest. There's no legal, conflict that he was in charge of the whole thing, and then he started a business, and now he's selling the whole thing, millions and millions of dollars of equipment.
These guys are just repulsive. I mean, I'm in the store yesterday, the grocery store, and there's a local newspaper on the rack. The front cover, the front page, is Obama and all his cronies. You know, Pelosi. I don't know who was in this picture. They're all laughing hysterically, and Obama's signing the no-tell law for the military. And it's just, you know, these people are just, they're just digging themselves so deep. You know,
right.
when the Lord's judgment comes down, man, it's just going to be brutal.
When you get in an extreme drunken state, as these people
that's
are.
That's what they are,
This is very drunken state. You start flaunting the sin.
They're drunken with power, yeah.
Right. They don't even no longer try to hide the sin. They flaunt the sin. They're so drunk.
Yeah.
And again, audience, this goes back scripturally to 1 Kings 9, verse 7. The description of, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed by my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And this rendering is God gives his warning to Israel, and they shall be a proverb.
Yeah, proverb is not a place you want to wind up. I think it was Solomon wrote the Proverbs, right?
Solomon, yes.
And Solomon is a good person to write the Proverbs because he saw what vanity was. And, you wind up as a proverb, it's...
Well, what do you mean? Like, in other words, like a bad example?
Yeah. Right. This is what happens to you.
And, I was, if we were going to sneak this in somewhere, but this would be a great time about what we were talking about, about Solomon's kingdom and the wisest man ever. And that's what that kingdom signifies, how far man can get on his own wisdom.
That's right. He if Solomon couldn't do, he was the best shot that the world ever had. I believe the man was so wise he would make donkeys out of a group of the wisest people on earth today. And he started building, wanted to building the kingdom for himself, adding to or rearranging the showbread tables and trying to create the perfect numbers. And the difference between Solomon and David, the big difference was David refused to go into idolatry. And Solomon slowly sank into idolatry.
Wow.
And he started thinking he could build the kingdom on earth.
And what do we have today?
Right, and as soon as that collapsed, I think they promised David that he would keep the kingdom and gather as long as Solomon's son was alive. And as soon as Solomon dies, it splits into two. You got two factions now, Under David, it was one. It was one under King David, because King David was at oneness with the Father. He was, as it said in Scripture, David's a man after my own heart. He sought to do God's will. That kingdom was at oneness under God, and after Solomon was finished with it, it became a tree of knowledge of good and evil. As the northern tribes split to the north, and the southern tribes went to the south, and then they had decades and decades of war. And it was under David, it was one tree. It was a tree of life. And under Solomon, after he got through, it became a tree of two factions.
Which properly, if you do the scriptures as far as the rendering of that, you find that when King Saul was anointed, the people had cried for a king. They had judges, and they wanted a king, and the Lord gave him a king for his purpose.
Can I interject one second there on that?
Absolutely, though.
Right. This was this was man's idea. And that's why Solomon is equated as number six in that 6-7-8 cycle. He represents man wanting a king. And they start with King Saul is number six, man wanting
a
king. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was, you have it right. Saw was the sixth, the representative of the man's achievement. You could equate that to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brother Bill.
Oh, you know, and then David, God sends the true king, as the kingdom was translated. You know, translates only three times in the Bible, and it's a huge word. You know, the throne was translated from Saul to King David. And David's son was to sit on that throne. And 40 seeds later, testing period of 40, was Heli, and he had a daughter named Mary to bring birth to the virgin child Jesus, sent by the Father to inherit that throne. What Solomon inherited was the earthly throne. And he was of the eighth, which was of the seventh. He was naturally King David's son, so he was born of the seventh. And he went into perdition. Your two factions are six and eight there. That's your two factions of evil, is six and eight. David never sought to go on forward to number eight. He was very satisfied with being in number seven. And Solomon started anew in number eight, and you know, the eighth is of the seventh and goes into perdition. The whole kingdom of Israel went into perdition after that. You know, 1,000 years downward spiral until Jesus arrived.
Wow.
You know, 1,000 year downward spiral, starting with the obviously with the split, like I mentioned, right after Solomon passed away. He was king for 40 years, and now they got two factions. You know, they got their split. They got a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Before, they had David, who was basically the king, or the kingdom of life. He was letting God build the kingdom.
And just to further that, Bill, that becomes the thirds. And if you look through history, audience, of the kingdoms in the Chronicles, in Kings and Samuel, you will find that usually two parts are cut off, and the king is tried by the fire, and then there's a peace, there's a Sabbath rest in those kingdoms.
Yes.
And what we're trying to equate, audience, is that our time, this generation, is as mingled as it's ever been. It is as mingled as the time of Solomon. In our study tonight, after our short, we're going to do a short study. Our study of the timeline will identify this mingling, and they'll be equated with the horses of Revelation. And we'll be getting to that shortly. Chris, I know you wanted to, you had something on your heart in regards to the parable of the vineyard.
Yeah, there's a lot here. I was hoping this to, I just want to put it out there. Because
sure.
It's something that I've been, you know, seeking understanding on it. And it's just something that's kind of hit me about it, and I just wanted to share. You know, it could be a big study. I wasn't going to go there tonight, but try to put some more scripture to what's taking place now. And, you know, we're here on Watchmen Weekly, you know, every week making the call to the remnant to come out of the system, to come out of the corporate church. And, you know, the notion of that is just so foreign to so many people, because the church has become such a powerful structure, institution, what have you. You know, we were, you know, I was talking with someone today about the image of the beast. Loretta, it was, we were emailing some ideas back and forth about that, with the what the image of the beast is, and how the church is the thing. It's almost the thing that is the object of the worship. And you see this thing, this theme going on out there. I see it. I see it all the time. And it's just so clearly is what's been prophesied to happen. And an account of what's taken place, I think, is in Luke chapter 20. You know, the parable of the vineyard and the husbandman. And I just wanted to read it real, and then just make a couple comments, and just kind of get this out there for people to chew on, and then we can get into the study of the four horsemen. And we're going to take a look at Tavistock tonight, which is a very fascinating study about the mind control that came out of the Tavistock Institute that we're seeing the fruition of today. But anyway, it says in Luke chapter 20, verse 9, "Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to a husbandman and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they would beat him and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, 'What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him.' But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, 'God forbid.' And he beheld them and said, 'What is this then that is written? The stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.'" Okay, well, you know, we've read that scripture. A normal church Christian would have the understanding of that being the church. What took place when when Jesus came, the Savior came, they killed him, you know. But as we have come to the metaphoric understanding of Scripture and verses like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, "These things happen as an example for admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come." And one of our first studies here at Watchman Weekly was the Olivet Discourse. And the clear, when you have eyes to see, the dual timeline. And here in this parable is such a clear teaching of the dual timeline, because everything it's teaching is about to happen again. You know some of the identities have changed, whereas we're going to see, you know, the martyring of the multitude, you know, is identified here in this parable, and it's about to play out again. And the teaching on the stones that the builder rejected, you know, the same has become the head of the corner. You know, what we're seeing here is the truth basically being transferred from old Israel, you know, from physical Israel to the church. And now the church has run its course, and we're seeing again the truth being transferred to the remnant in the wilderness. You know, the vineyard is given to another. And this is the dynamic that's taking place in this parable. And I know my brothers here have some insight into it. Like, you know, Bob, I was going to ask you to maybe elaborate on the stone that the builder rejected, because I know you've got a good handle on the lively stones.
Well, I'll address one thing, Chris. This is Jesus' teaching in the temple. And this is directly to the people. But when you recount, they are not his people. This is, there's a difference. Which if you drill down on that, he taught the people, but he's not saying they're his people. Okay? The preaching of the gospel was to the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders. So he's telling them directly, "Hey, you're going to kill me."
Yeah.
And I'm the chief cornerstone. I'm the one that was hewed with no hands. I'm fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures. And anything contrary to me, because I have dominion now. And if you're not in me, you're against me. If you're not, Jesus Christ does not dwell with you. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. they shall fall. And the truth, when it comes out, in this generation, will grind the lies to powder. All the lies will be revealed. Brother Bill, you want to add to that?
Yes, this already took place once, and it's going to take place again, just as you're speaking right there. And he shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. Well, this was the destruction of Israel. When he died on the cross, he translated the kingdom, and it became spiritual Israel. He gave the kingdom to others. That was the church of that time that he destroyed. And I guess the official destruction was 70 A.D. And when they had heard this, they said, God forbid. What's interesting in what Chris was reading there, he says, and again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. Well, these servants actually are described here in Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:34, when he gives them a warning in both of those verses. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, that's your two factions there. That's always indicating two parts cut off. It's a warning. It's a despair. Thou killest the prophets. So these were the servants that he sent, prophets. Thou killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and he would not. So remember David said, we discussed last week or the week before about he found rest under the shadow of the Lord's wings. But the prophets were the servants that he sent were the prophets.
Yeah.
And they're sending prophets today. And, you know, it's the same story all over again. He's going to take this kingdom away from what is the apostate church. And he's going to give it to another people. And that other people are the remnant that comes out of the church. It's the same old story that happened before, when Jesus arrived in the physical. He took the kingdom away from the Jews and gave it to the born-again Christians, born-again spiritual Jews. That's who the kingdom was awarded to. And it's going to be the same thing this time. He's going to, you know, their apostate church is going to be these husbandmen that are in charge of this apostate church that are seeking to kill the prophets, keep seeking to kill the truth so they can inherit the kingdom for themselves here on earth, whether it be dominionism or Zionism or whatever.
When's that going to happen? It says in Isaiah 32:15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and the righteousness remain in the fruitful field. See, there, that's what I see that saying the same thing to you, Bill.
Right, yeah, absolutely. The kingdom is going to be taken away from the forest.
Yes. And judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. And this is something I'm catching here right now. I mean, I just got it. I don't know. It almost seems like after the tribulation, I mean, the Spirit's poured out from on high. I see that happening, you know, when the latter rain comes. And it's going to be after the trumpet sound. And it almost seems like the fruitful field during the tribulation, you know, God's people, the remnant, won't be in the wilderness. They'll be considered the fruitful field. I mean, because the wilderness is metaphoric, and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we consider the wilderness as standing in the truth now, and we are in the wilderness now, but it almost seems like we're going to be the fruitful field.
Well, I see it is he's training up his apostles, and we're in the, these disciples, his pupils.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're in the wilderness. When those disciples are sealed with the Holy Spirit breathed on them, they become apostles, and then they become the fruitful field. Then when they're fruitful, they'll have a spiritual womb that can give birth to the man-child.
Right. And righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And then judgment is in the wilderness. So
As the multitudes come into the wilderness... there's judgment there.
And the inner court comes to mind, where the outer court will be under the Gentiles, and the inner court will be those that are the temple of the Lord, and the holy vessels, the lively stones built on this teaching.
Yeah.
Truth.
So actually in Isaiah 32:16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Like, judgment is the multitude and righteousness is the remnant. Is that how you'd say that, you think?
I haven't put any time
on that. Yeah, I put you on the spot there. Grabbed me on this today.
Off the top of my head, that sounds like it's probably right.
Because the serpents and scorpions, you know, they're not under this judgment. They're already judged. Well, yeah, we'll have to, you know, dig into it a little more.
Some time into that, right?
It just grabbed me that the righteousness remain in the fruitful field. So it's just, but whatever, it's the transition. I think this is clearly the transition where the truth, the truth has been carried through the church. You know, the church had the truth, but when we see the abomination of desolation, when the idolatry takes over and the daily sacrifice ceases, it's
spiritual
over.
Sacrifices, audience. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, the spiritual sacrifice.
Spiritual sacrifices. Yeah. The true spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, whose praises, as it says in 127 of James, whose praise is of God and not of men.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this last Christmas was not a spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. They were making cakes for the Queen of Heaven. You know, these were spiritual sacrifices unto Satan.
As brutal as that sounds, it's the truth.
As brutal as it sounds. And I wanted to touch just a minute here on Luke 20 and the parable of the vineyard. The whole thing is this. Let us kill him that the inheritance may be ours. That's the big key right there. They want to seize the inheritance. You know, Satan is in a race to build his kingdom here.
Yeah.
They want to build up the peace and safety kingdom and and seek the inheritance for themselves. That's what it's all about. That was what it was about then. That's why they couldn't have Jesus. It was, they didn't feel there was an inheritance there for themselves because they were in the flesh and they wanted an earthly King David to come back and conquer Rome, and they would acquire the inheritance. And it's the same idea today. It's the exact same idea.
Yeah.
They want what they feel is the earthly inheritance.
And destroyer of thine heritage, right? I mean, that's what that's saying. Heritage is an inheritance.
Yep.
Now, if we further, this recounts Habakkuk, the chapter 1:3-7, and audience, this will give you an idea of this strange act in terms of why our truthful renderings of Scripture are contrary through the metaphorical studies of the apostate, to give you the true renderings that are the proper renderings for you who are in Christ. And this is, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among heathen and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told to you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Now, when you recount a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told to you.
I can relate to that right away. Sarah laughed when the Lord told her she was going to have a baby.
Yeah.
She couldn't believe what she was hearing.
And I could recall maybe a year ago when I realized the truth of Scripture versus what was happening in the world. You just wouldn't believe it. When you find out the true fleshly understandings of promoting a fleshly nation to take Christianity and turn it into donations for the military.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah.
You know.
There's two right there.
Yes.
You can't have flag and God. You can't have two allegiances. You know, that once again, you're back to the tree of two. And two becomes four, becomes eight, becomes 16, becomes 32. It's only one. All of our allegiance goes to Jesus Christ.
And before this great falling away and strong delusion that was on the apostate church, Bill, you could probably go back to the 50s and 60s in terms of recognizing that society wasn't as wicked as it is now.
Not even anywhere as close.
You know, in school.
It wasn't perfect, but nothing like this.
Chewing gum, running in the hall.
Yep.
And now we have mass shootings. Our educational system has been depleted for the purposes of, when we go into the study, recognition of the social controlling structures are just part of this this strange act.
Jezebel's spirit is what really tore that down.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about now, is this spirit of Jezebel, and we see the signatures the Lord's given us with the Burnt Mountain study we did a couple weeks ago, and there's every time I turn around, I see somebody in our group, you know, coming out with more information about Jezebel, and I was under the impression, you know, as I studied to see what an influence the spirit of Jezebel had on the church, but now I see it more clearly that Jezebel is the church. And
you're right. Jezebel is the church, probably on the highest layer. Yeah.
Uh huh. And so Jezebel's fate is, likened to what's coming for the corporate church, and that's why we're calling you out of it, because it's no place to be. But it's going to be a process, because something I got today was the idea that the corporate church is really no threat to Satan anymore. You know, and I'm trying to figure out what this means, because it's not. You know, but we are. You know, the multitude. Well, the multitude,
right,
will be.
He's got them offering up cakes to the Queen of Heaven now.
Yeah.
So they're not a threat to him.
But the corporate structure is not a threat to the Satan, because
right,
because they're ineffective. And but that's why he must devour the man child. You know, he must destroy the multitude. And I'm just seeing that picture clearly. Because when the multitude, you know, the group that does wake up, you know, the people who are, clearly the one third of the church that does come to the truth after the tribulation, Satan's got to take them out, and he's going to think he's going to win by getting rid of them, you know. But it's going to be the same thing again, you know, repeat. This whole thing's repeating. The multitude will be resurrected. And, Satan will... What did Steve Knox say tonight on the pre-show about... It was very profound. In that Satan's got to take himself out. Did you pick up on that?
He's going to blindside himself, yes. Just like he blindsided himself at the cross.
Yeah.
He had no clue what he was doing at the cross. And then the strong man bound his goods there. And he's probably, the same thing is going to repeat. He's going to be totally blindsided. Because you have to remember, he's under stronger delusion than anyone.
Yeah.
There's no one under stronger delusion than Lucifer.
I was reading in Jeremiah today. It said, this is the man that caused the world to tremble. You know, when he's seen for what he really is.
Yeah.
Or is that in Isaiah? Sure. Might be in Isaiah.
Isaiah 14.
Yeah. It's right after I will sit on the mount of the congregation.
Yep.
But, you know, and that word congregation is interesting, isn't it? The way that it's really the church.
He got blindsided in the garden.
Yeah. Yeah?
He totally got blindsided in the garden. He got blindsided at the cross. And he's going to get blindsided in the end here. He's so involved in trafficking and merchandising that he's not going to see what's coming.
And you, audience, are witnessing this. When we recount our study in terms of the past five or six shows, we've come to some basic information in regards to the culmination of the Pale Horse. So I'm just, before we go into the Pale Horse, I just want to recount for our audience. We're at the year 1947. We have the White Horse. That's creation of the UN Pale Horse Global Vehicle. Fictitious birth of the modern state of Israel and Arab countries. Bretton Woods in 1944. And the advent of 501(c)(3)s. 1954. The Red Horse, World Council of Churches, Jackie Robinson, Race Barrier Dialectic, Baby Boomers, Billy Graham, Dead Sea Scrolls, The Black Horse, Reestablishing the Underground Third Reich, NASA, National Security Act, Television, Operation Paperclip, CIA, Movies, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Forward Movement of the Tavistock Institute, which we'll be talking about tonight, Interpol and American Cancer Society. Now, what we're recognizing in all these movements is a recapitulation of a movement that can inhabit the Earth. This is, we recounted that, you know, until the advent of steel, these movements were regional, and now we've moved to global where we're at today. Brother Bill?
I think you did a very, very good job of joining everything together. That was excellent, Bob.
Well, I'm reading.
1947 set the stage for all of that.
It's your show notes, Bill.
Right. No, I mean, just gathering it there. Tavistock, I was thinking, was Black Horse, but I might be a little misunderstand that. It was formed in 1947. The first thing about Tavistock is an independent, non-for-profit organization. What could go wrong there?
Yeah.
Which seeks to combine research in the social sciences with professional practice.
Well, before we go on, I just want to mention to the audience. Audience, you will hear conspiracy theory. Okay. Now, I want to get a correct understanding of that for you. It is it is devised to bring in a dialectic, which is if you look up Hegelian dialectic, you will see that it creates a division of speech that, for the purpose of the speaker, will be able to be synthesized into a conveyance of an idea. But it was also, the military used this in terms of disinformation. They didn't want, they wanted to disregard any rumors, so they called it a conspiracy. Okay, so if you equate that name to this, in terms of recognizing that conspiracy theory is just a way to push aside the truth, everything will be overturned. Chris, you want to add to that?
Well, you know, I can jump into what I have on the Tavistock if you'd like.
Yes, it's basically the Tavistock and the mind control. I was just giving one idea in terms of conspiracy theory. There wasn't a conspiracy theory years ago, and all of a sudden there's a conspiracy theory, and it's been demonized.
Well, the whole Bible is conspiracy, but only a fool doesn't believe in conspiracy. They conspired to throw Joseph in the pit. They conspired to arrest Jesus in the middle of the night. They conspired through a false court to sentence him, all done in conspiracy. So, you know, that's just two examples of conspiracy. It's all throughout the Bible. So only a fool would not believe that they would not conspire. You take two, and you are. That's all you need for the makings of conspiracy is two.
And this Tavistock Institute, Chris, this was the leading, let's call it, scientific application.
Yes, yeah, social science is what it is. That's what this is. It's social engineering. And I'm going to just give all the credit to John Coleman, who's a guy, a researcher that is just brilliant and has had such a influence on me, you know, in my waking up to the illusion that we've been, a part of, that I woke up to, just recently. It's been really about 2 years now for me. And John Coleman was very instrumental in my awareness, and I owe a lot to him. But I was just going to read the introduction to his book, and it'll set the stage for our show tonight. The Tavistock Institute for Human Relations, Shaping the Moral, Spiritual, Cultural, Political, and Economic Decline of the United States. The Tavistock Institute for Human Relations has had a profound effect on the moral, spiritual, cultural, political, and economic policies of the United States of America and Great Britain. It has been one of the front line of the attack on the U.S. Constitution and state constitutions. No group did more to propagandize the U.S. to participate in World War I at a time when the majority of the American people were opposed to it. And that's one thing, Bill, you know, the Institute was actually formed early, but, it came to the United States in 47. But the thing's been around a long time. That's when it was imported. And it actually started, as a part of World War One, and getting the United States into World War One, it was all part of that, and the Bellflower Declaration, all this stuff was all mind control, all manipulating public opinion, because these globalist leaders cannot, carry out their agenda without winning the multitude over. It's what they're always afraid of, is the multitude, and this is how they control the masses with this stuff. But I'll continue. Much of the same tactics were used by the social science scientists at Tavistock to get the United States into World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Serbia, and both wars against Iraq. Tavistock began as a propaganda creating and disseminating organization at Wellington House in London in the run up to World War I, what Toynbee called the black hole of disinformation. On another occasion, Toynbee called Wellington House a lie factory. From a somewhat crude beginning, Wellington House evolved into the Tavistock Institute and went on to shape the destiny of Germany, Russia, Britain, and the United States. So what do we have right there? The four horses. It's amazing. Right. In a highly controversial manner. The people of these nations were unaware that they were being brainwashed. The origin of mind control, interdirectional conditioning, and mass brainwashing is explained in an easy-to-understand book written with great authority. The Fall of Dynasties, the Bolshevik Revolution, World War I, World War II, saw the destruction of old alliances and boundaries, the convolutions in regions, the convulsions in religion, morals, family life, economic and political conduct, decadence in music and art can all be traced back to mass indoctrination, mass brainwashing, practiced by the Tavistock Institute social science scientists. Prominent among Tavistock's faculty were Edward Bernays. This guy was a real creep. He's the guy that got women to smoke. That was one of his claims to fame, just among all others, but just the conditioning that took place there. The double nephew of Sigmund Freud, That's a real, you know. And, yeah, and it's said that Erich Goebbels, propagandist minister of Germany, the German Third Reich, used methodology devised by Bernays, as well as those of Willy Munzenberg, whose extraordinary career is touched upon in this work about the past, present, and future. Without Tavistock, there would have been no World War I, World War II, no Bolshevik Revolution, Korea, Vietnam, Serbia, Iraq wars. But if for Tavistock, the United States would not be rushing down the road to disillusion and collapse. So that's the introduction to the book. Folks, I would recommend getting your hands on this book. It's all over the internet. You can download it for free. Buy it from John Coleman's website. His I'll put links to it on the show notes. But the and just a wealth of knowledge in this book. And I've got some material from the throughout the book. But if you have anything to say, Bill or Bob,
I just wanted to mention to the audience if. Audience, you go to the link, thethirdgreatawakening.org. You will find all of the fleshly, let's call them dialectic movements recounted so that you can see. It's a great study tool. This type of mingling in terms of these movements. This is your enemy, audience. The propagation of these scientific applications to control is the great diminishment on the word. It's happening in the church, and at a greater level, it's happening all over the world. Brother Bill?
Yeah, if you want to go all the way back to its roots, it has to be Jesuit. I know that. But you were right. This was a gigantic vehicle in bringing so much forth, in the 20th century. Institute of Human Relations in London in 1921, the Duke of Bedford. He's the Marquess of Tavistock, the 11th Duke. Well, we know where all the Dukes come from, the House of Esau. He gave a building to the Institute to study the effect of shell shock on British soldiers who survived World War I.
Right.
The purpose was to establish the breaking point of men under stress.
Just pure evil.
I mean, pure black, dark science evil.
And that's Black Horse, audience. When we're going into the Pale Horse, a mingling of all of these movements for recapitulation historically. But at this time, we're talking about a generation that these movements have gone global. And these movements are now in all countries. And the great falling away, the apostate of the church, is another fulfilling of prophecy of strong delusion and lies. And when you look up lies in terms of scripturally, it's Christian doctrine, it's speaking lies of the scriptures that were supposed to be purged out, but through the manipulation of this type of fleshly understanding, this Tavistock Institute brought another depth of evil upon the land. Is that a good synopsis, gentlemen?
Oh, it sure is.
Very good. Excellent.
And if you're listening to this show and you're recognizing this, there are two schools of thoughts, because you either have a love of the truth or you don't. And if you want to know about these fleshly understandings of how this is beginning to recapitulate, the Esau effect, so to speak, the tools that Chris just gave you will give you a total understanding of this black, dark science Nazi movement. And then you can throw in Darwin, too. It was told that Darwin was taught by Satan himself, as far as totally overturning the truth of gospel.
By the way, you mentioned Darwin there. I'll make a small comment. It was Hort, I believe Hort, in the Westcott and Hort Bible translations in the 1880s. Was Hort's hero was Charles Darwin.
He was everybody who was evil's hero.
So that's, you know, that's a fine background for wanting to write new Bibles, huh?
Yes, yes, there you are, audience. Another, you know, the diminishment of the word, and we can't stress this enough. I know we've covered in our early shows the church movements, but, you know, you go back to everything else, and, you know, just repent, audience. Learn from these fleshly movements that we're trying to present for truth, that we could give the proper renderings of scriptures to understand that these movements are equated to the four horses of the apocalypse. And they're happening in our generation. And not to get off topic, gentlemen, but I must say, one of the predictions that were foretold by the scientists in the, I believe, May, June, at the worst case scenario of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill, is that there would be the worst winter in history because of the influence that the oil had on the ecosystem and the jet streams. And audience, if you look at the current situation in Europe, you are going to find that those scientists that predicted that were correct. And we're equating this to a prophetic fulfillment of the fifth trumpet, the releasing of the scorpion spirit. And it's ongoing, so we can't say, well, this is the event in our generation, because we'll never have a chance to look back on it. And all we're receiving in terms of communications is that this is a building process. This is the likened unto a whirlwind process right now. Why? Does anybody disagree with that?
Well, not at all. I mean, what you just said is, you know, absolutely, probably more than you realize, not off topic at all concerning this, because what we're seeing manifest today could never have been accomplished without the background, you know, without the hundreds of years of satanic influence on society to prepare society for what's upon us real time. And you know, this Tavistock Institute was huge. It was a huge part of it. You know, I'm one of the we didn't.
They were behind the whole LSD thing, by the way.
Oh, everything.
Which was funded by the CIA. CIA had backed them and funded them. They actually started in the 1950s in Canada as they experimented on 53 patients. They were behind the Timothy Leary thing. They were behind the setting up the hippie movement in San Francisco. That was all orchestrated, that whole deal. And you know, Tavistock was behind all of that.
Yeah, I was gonna read from an article that a guy named Peter Chamberlain wrote this article a couple years ago, and it was out there, and I've got a link to it on the website. And he actually emailed me last week and said, would you please give me credit for my article? Because back when I was first putting the website together, I was a little, you know, probably reckless about plagiarism and stuff. I just wanted to get the information out there, and I ended up just redoing it, so I put a link right to his article. But it's a very good article written about Zionism. And I'm just going to fast forward right to that, because we know what happened, you know, 47, 48. This is our focal point of this study. I'm going to read an excerpt from this article, and it'll basically set the stage for what's really taking place. And basically, you'll see how it ties together with what Bob just said about the opening of the bottomless pit, the release of the scorpion spirit, and the sixth trumpet is the release of the serpent war machine, which is it's all set. And the reason that this is all here right, it's all in place right now, is because of the influence that this evil organization has had on the masses, and in particular the Christians. Because this is our concern, is to bring to light the deception that has just completely engulfed the Christian church today. I'm going to read this excerpt. The psychologists and social scientists associated with Tavistock have woven the degenerate ideas of Freud into the neoconservative ideology. That's very important. Remember that. They have implemented their mass conditioning techniques as part of the plan to create a fascist Zionist America and a fascist world. The plans for us are almost completed. Excuse me. Another major part of the master plan has been to disguise the true nature of Zionism and the deep roots of Jewish supremacism from which it sprang. The Zionist singular goal, the negation of exile, was a fraud, according to the neocon prophet Leo Strauss. This is another key figure of evil mind control guys that have influenced us. You know, he followed in Bernays' footsteps, who confessed that they had harbored an equally important secondary objective of proving that the power of religion had been broken. And this is from Leo Strauss's review of Sigmund Freud's book, Future of an Illusion. And I'll put links to all this stuff up on the show notes, because this stuff is very important. And then it says, their real intention, and folks, if you followed with us, you're going to understand what this means. We've built a foundation for you to understand what I'm about to read, I hope. Their real intention was to force a reversal of world history, all the way back to pre-exile Eretz Yisrael. Do you know who that is, Bill?
Repeat that again.
Eretz,
the last part.
Eretz Yisrael. All the way back to pre-exile. He must have been a rabbi. I don't know who he is. I'm sorry for that.
Okay,
but the plan was to force the fulfillment of the birthright without God's help, creating a kingdom of Jews without God, enthroning themselves at the center of the world. Zionism is an atheistic movement masquerading as the fulfillment of religious prophecy. Zionism is a plan for an end run around God's. It is Satan's plan. And
we can seize the inheritance for ourselves.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. And after reclaiming the Holy Land, America was to be the second nation which had to come under Zionist domination in order for the plan to succeed. And it all is, you know, this is the whole foundation for the neoconservative movement that we're seeing, you know, controlling the world today. And it's all around Zionism, and it's all around the notion that it's the modern crusades. And when you say neoconservative, you think Knights of Malta. You think and the men who are associated with this organization. You know, I can rattle them off, like Henry Kissinger, Clinton, both of the Bushes, Ronald Reagan. It goes back as far as Randolph Hearst, who put Billy Graham on the map. We'll talk about him later. Rupert Murdoch, Knights of Malta. Who's at the head of the Signs and Wonders apostate Christians? Rick Joyner, Todd Bentley. These guys are all part of this. They're all Masons. It's all Freemasonic. It's all deception. And it's got the entire Christian church establishment deceived right now, following this, supporting this, because this is what they're doing. You know, they've won the hearts and the minds of the Christians to support this. You guys got anything
else? Something there about using America as a... early on there, when you just a few minutes ago, you said something about America as being a foundation or of carrying this forward. And we can go all the way back to, you mentioned before, what
after reclaiming the Holy Land, America was to be the second nation which had to come under Zionist domination in order for the plan to succeed.
What did Cornwallis say?
Yeah, that's all
exactly.
Part of it. See, all this stuff happened.
The whole,
you know, this is all, you know, hundreds of years of mind control. The Hegelian dialectic, you know, Marx, you know, Lenin, They all set the stage for all this to happen. And here we are exposing it. Right? You know, I mean, we're not the only ones exposing it. We're just trying to connect the dots for you folks to understand why we're at where we are today and why we've got a society of blithering idiots sitting in front of the boob tube watching a Mormon lead them to taking their country back for God, when in fact it never was God.
And well, right, it was never right, and Mormon's a godless religion to start with. But I guess they've got their God comes from the planet Kolob or something.
But this is how this could happen. That, you know, intelligent, educated Christians could fall for this deception. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, it tells us in Isaiah 28 how this happened, because they never read their Bible.
They didn't read their Bible. Not line upon line, precept upon precept.
Right.
This is what you get, folks.
And this is just studying yourself with your audience. We equate this as this great mingling now, that we're discussing a movement within a movement, within the Black Horse. These key historic teachings, or we should say scientific applications, that have come to our own generation. In our own generation, it's you can't tell the truth through the lies.
Yeah.
And the whole lies and wickedness.
The whole world lieth in wickedness.
And we're sitting here conveying a truth so that you could recognize that, hey, maybe I ought to look at this Tavistock Institute after I read my Bible. After I maybe do the Plumb Line series from the third day. The-third-day.com. If you're new audience, we have links at the WatchmanWeekly.com and threshingfloor-radio.com so that you can see the scripture upon scripture and how precept upon precept gives us this revelation in terms of conveying what's happening in this generation. I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Bill.
Well, I think it's excellent. You know, that's the foundation where you start so you can recognize the lie. You may have told me this. I don't remember. Someone had told me this. It might have been you, Bob, that, you know, when they study counterfeit money, you don't start off by looking at the counterfeit. They're trained to completely learn the real money to start with. That's the secret. That's where you go to. I mean, obviously the money's all fake, but I'm using this as an example. When they're trained to spot counterfeit money, it's because they know the original. That's the key. They know the original. They don't start off learning another counterfeit. So the foundation, what you need to go back to in order to spot these lies, is learn the foundation, which is the in your written Holy Scriptures, in the King James Bible. And, you know, once you study that, and once you show yourself the fruit, and once the Holy Spirit comes in and guides you to all truth, then you'll be able to look and see through all of these other instruments out there, you know, such as the Tavistock, such as many of these things that we talk about.
Yeah, there's probably something more significant of an influence on us today than the Tavistock Institute in a real way, you know, in a real time, in our faith way. And, you know, we see...
I agree with that.
We see it in Scripture. I mean, it says that they will be of one mind, you know, and Satan controls the minds of Satan controls the minds of the church. This is the problem. I mean, this is our focal point. Yes, there's the
focal point is the church, because, right, everything that has to have a religious start to start with. You must have a religious ideology to have anything after that.
But yeah, so, I'll try to blast through some facts about the Tavistock.
Go ahead.
I have to get a foundation out there for the listeners, and then, you know, we can dialogue at the end. But there's just so much stuff that people just wouldn't believe that's tied to this monster. But I'm going to read here some excerpts from John Coleman's book. Tavistock is the most important nerve center in the U.S. It has poisoned and gradually altered for the worse every facet of our lives since 1946. When it began, its North American operation. And you got to realize how this place operates. See, it operates through the foundations and the Ivy League schools. You know, the American think tanks like Stanford Research, Wharton School, MIT, Hudson Institute, the Heritage Foundation, Georgetown University. Georgetown is the center of Knights of Malta, Jesuits. You know, all this evil comes out of these institutions. And then the new
Stanford
age.
Research Institute.
What's that?
Oh, they control the Stanford Research Institute,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Stanford's a huge mind-control place. Harvard, you know, Harvard's, you know, all part of it. But then something else that they, you know, the Tavistock was to blame for the New Age movement and the New Age infiltration. The Age of Aquarius and all this we heard out of the 60s.
Yep.
The Age of Aquarius program is designed to break down the morals of the American people and weaken family life. Christianity was not taught. For instance, we meekly accepted the Beatles and their novel music, quote unquote. The lyrics, if one dare call it music and lyrics, have been told that the group wrote them themselves. Actually, Tavistock graduate, check this out, Theo Adorno, who controlled the Beatles.
Right, Theodore Adorno. He brought the modern art in, too. I believe he was like with the Franklin, I lose the name off the top of my head, but that's where all your creepy-looking art comes in, you know, your New Age art.
Abstract or whatever. But
right, it came from Theodore Adorno.
Create mass environmental and social turbulences across America. None of the Beatles could read music. Nevertheless, they were puffed. That's a term that they use here. I hear, you know, I've done some research, you know, later on down the road with this study, in researching Billy Graham, and that was the term you heard with him. Randolph Hearst put out the word "puff Graham." That's what they use. That's a term they use to make, you know. That's what they do to these people today. Madonna, you know, Lady Gaga, you know, Michael Jackson, all these casualties of the system. You know, and obviously it's been, the music has been the way that, you know, they've really, you know, this is what happened in the 60s. You know, the screaming girls outside the airplane, when the Beatles got off to come to the Ed Sullivan show. That was all propaganda.
Right, a lot of that was staged. All those Elvis Presley people there in the 50s was all staged,
all
those women.
And they, you know, what they did was they used the Beatles to go after the good kids, get them to start smoking dope and rebel against their parents, and then the Rolling Stones to go after the hoodlums and that whole British invasion that came over here, you know, with the 60s and this rebellious the Who, talk about my generation, you know, hope I die before I get old, you know, this is what I grew up on, you know, it took me, you know, years to just get out from underneath this stuff. Control. But this all came from, this was no accident. This stuff all came out of Tavistock. And then we've got,
right.
You know, things like, the Kennedy assassination. Tavistock is tied in all that and the cover-up and the mind control around all these people. They're all part of it. They're all part of the, you know, and with these figures such as, Larry King and Phil Donahue. And
those guys are all stooge puppets. I mean, they're every one of those people.
Yeah, they're all part.
Oh, Buckley, is he a jewel? But I think Buckley might have been Knights of Malta also.
I wouldn't doubt it. And today we've got Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Karl Rove. I mean, these guys are all part of this. You know, the Clintons are all in on this. It's just so huge. And then this is, I'm going to wrap it up with this. It's just so important to get this information out because people don't realize what took place. But this is something huge. And in the early 90s, I'm going to read an excerpt. Once Bush committed himself to Prime Minister Thatcher's 1991 Gulf War on behalf of Queen Elizabeth and her BP oil company, okay, you know, I heard about, I knew about this, that Bush went over to get orders from the Queen. Bush Sr., you know, he's a complete creep. Every single one of the speeches made by President Bush with the intention of promoting war against Iraq was crafted by multi-disciplined teams of writers trained by Tavistock. You know, they just keep pounding this stuff into you. Like, the great need to protect the Saudi oil fields threatened by an Iraqi invasion under the leadership of a madman. You know, this was Saddam Hussein. Well, who's the madman du jour today? You know, it's Ahmadinejad. He's the guy. You know, Tavistock's all behind all this stuff. the signs hang. My favorite is you get the sign, "Die, you know, behead the infidel." And the classic caption for that, those pictures are, "What does my sign say?" You know, they've got these people propped up like they're, you know, this whole Islamic hatred fomented by this place through the CIA and all the stooges. So, you know, this is what's where we are today, folks. What's brought the social mindset that we are up against today. And it's so bad. It's just so bad. But it's going to be the Lord, and the Lord's power is going to step in, and he's going to turn things around. He's going to turn things back right side up, because everything's turned upside down now. And it's going to be interesting. But I think it's helpful to get a groundwork on why we're here today and how we've come to, you know, believe the, you know, what we believe. And this Tavistock is definitely something to look at. I'd recommend, you know, grabbing it off the internet, just at least saving it on your computer, you know, so you have it, and go from there.
Brother Bill?
Yeah, it's Tavistock seems to be the one institute more than all these that I can think of that's got its fingers everywhere. They're not just like in certain areas. They're literally everywhere.
Yeah, and they all work in lockstep.
They all work in lockstep, right?
The National Security Agency, you know, put out the false information. They didn't quite have. This is where we're at. This is why it's so important, folks. This is where we're at right now. What do we report tonight in current events? This thing they're doing with Jonathan Pollard. They're up to something right now, because people aren't going to. And what happened with when they invaded Iraq? Well, they didn't quite have the public. Soul. But then they had to come up with the weapons of mass destruction and that whole thing. That all came out of the National Security Agency. All misleading information, to get people on board with that war. And it worked. It worked. And now there's a false flag coming, folks. And I'm telling you what, I would not doubt if it's one or several major cities are going to get nuked. I really think that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be, that's what's going to put it over the edge. Because they're all these guys care about, all these Knights of Malta, who have manipulated, you know, the church to believing that we must support Israel in these evil wars. You know, Israel is called the battleship in the desert. America's battleship in the desert. And the conditioning that's taken place to win the hearts and minds of these, of the Christian masses to support this abomination. You know, it's all here right now. And Satan has accomplished his goal. He's sitting on the Mount of the Congregation.
Absolutely. Let's seize the inheritance for ourselves. That's the whole mission, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
And audience, just recount off the top of my head a scripture that comes to mind. And that is, "Be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may find what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we're revealing this, and this is all new to me. I've never heard, and thank you, Chris and Bill, for...
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, I don't need to go to a horror clinic. when we're distilling the truth, audience. But this is the truth. The whole world lies in wickedness. These are the, let's call them the serpents and scorpions that are conniving and moving in to pierce you, to sting you, to strangle you, to spit venom in your face, to paralyze you. All attributes of and definitions of what you're dealing with in the spirit. You know, when you distill this through the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures, you start recognizing it. If they tell you that, if the scripture tells you there's a black horse, a red horse, a white horse, and a pale horse, and you've never heard this before, you're getting the proper renderings of what these movements mean from scripture. Now, I'd like to close with two things. Gentlemen, anything else?
Oh, I'd just like to leave maybe one little statement that holds very true. And, you know, I've kept it for a long time in me. And it's this stuff may all sound strange, but truth is stranger than fiction.
This?
Yeah, that, I mean, you hit it on the head there. Truth is stranger than fiction. So it's a consistent thing that the power of religion has been broken. I mean,
yep.
This stuff all came out of this. Sigmund Freud and these evil atheist men are just laughing, thinking that they've got, and it worked, you know. But I mean, the Lord's going to reconcile it all. But it's just the depth of deception that this is the big problem, you know. The church has, for one, doesn't realize the deception that Satan's capable of, and that the Lord allows it all, you know. And it talks, the scripture talks about the snare. And or is a snare shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And I just got some insight again on that this week, as far as, you know, it says in Jeremiah, I will set a snare. You know, God sets the snare. And I believe the big snare of the last 20 years has been this prosperity nonsense. This prosperity gospel is the thing that really set gave the Christians the mindset to accept all this that's about to take place. Because that's the snare. Who said it? God said it. God set that snare. And it's the ones that overcome the lure. I mean, how many Christians today are waiting for the Lord to restore America and get it back to the way it is? And these Elijah listers, that's what these guys are telling people, that God has to restore America because we have to claim our whatever, our dominion over this, the principalities and powers, all this crap that's just not scriptural. Because these people aren't reading their Bibles. They don't know. The Lord told us what is going to happen. It's not about what we're, you know, the Christians are going to go out there and manipulate things the way they want it. And this is where we are, because the Lord said there's going to be a famine on the land, not for the word, or not for bread or water, but for the hearing of the word. And it's not the fact that the word, it's the hearing of the word. That's something else really important to remember. The word's out there.
The word's out there, right.
Download eSword. Go on thirdgradeawakening.org. There's a link to it. You can get an electronic King James Bible that you can zip around and find anything you want to know in 5 seconds. There's no excuse. You can go to a dollar bookstore and buy a King James Bible for a buck. You can't buy one in a Target or a Walmart, but you can buy one, you know. But there's just no excuse. You know, it's just all you applying yourself to
But isn't there like... Can't you just go to one of these churches and let the pastor teach you this, and you don't have to do that yourself?
No, you can't. That's the problem.
You can't?
That's what's happening.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, because the scriptures, the reference to the shepherds, the blind guides that have led their sheep.
You mean the hireling shepherds?
The hireling shepherds. Yeah, it's an abomination. It's just an abomination. But
so this is kind of something you got to do.
Something on my Facebook page. Something just so, it's so simple. But, you know, that's what I told Loretta. We were emailing over the weekend a little bit. I said, the multitude is like a, I told this to you, Bob, too. It's like they're sitting in a high chair, flinging oatmeal at us, you know. And all we're trying to do is get them to take a little corner of the spoon, you know.
Just a little
corner of the truth, you know, a corner of the spoon to get in there. And they will, you know, it's going to happen. The Lord tells us it's going to, they will take root downward, those that escape Judah. But this is just a simple thing. You know, to find the true God, you have to lose your false gods. You can't have both. You cannot have both. God does not. God's a jealous God. But when you get rid of your false gods, He makes Himself known to you. And I'm telling you, folks.
Absolutely.
There's just no question. It's a good deal. But you can't. It's not a show-me thing. We're not in Missouri, the show-me state. God, you know, needs you to step out in faith, to fall back into His arms. And, you know, when you do that, when you sell out and, you know, forsake all your idols, all your golden calves, your graven images, you know, they can be anything. They can be a spouse. They can be, you know, your kids, your house, your comfort, whatever, your church. And this is probably the biggest one going. The church is become an idol. Because the church is the thing, not Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and you know, that's what we're called to. It's a one-on-one deal. That, you know, we're to come to the Lord in spirit and in truth, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you do that with no baggage, you know, you find Him. He reveals Himself to you. I can promise that to you. And if it's not happening to you, there's something wrong. There's something in the way. There's something you're not letting go of. There's a doctrine you're not letting go of. Something, anything. But it's just when you sell out and just say, Lord, show me, with nothing to inhibit it, He will.
He will. Amen.
Well, I'd like to, audience, please, if you're new to the show, all the shows are for your edification. All the breakout studies from Brother Bill will give you the proper renderings of Scripture that have been, that have fallen under the lies of false doctrine and the diminished word. These are not DVDs. These are not books to tell you one thing or another. This is Scripture upon Scripture from Genesis to Revelation for your edification. And I'd like to recount two things before we close. One is repent, audience. And when you're told to repent, there's many definitions, but the definition that you need to think about is a word in the Hebrew, which is a root word, and it's to think differently for afterwards. That is, reconsider, morally feel compunction, repent. When we tell you these fleshly truths and dwell down on the truth of the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you distill it yourselves, and you study this to show yourself approved, not only scripturally, but you'll have a love of the truth that'll say, well, what is this they're talking about? You'll find the truth. The truth will be revealed to you if you repent, you stop sinning, you become the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no higher calling. I'd like to close with Zephaniah 3:13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Fear the Lord, audit. Fear the Lord your God, audience, but not man. Fear those that can take your soul and can kill your flesh, not. You only fear the Lord. He is with you. He fights these battles for you. This is Bob Garrity, Chris Sardern, and Bill Johnson. Good night. Shining in the sun, polished and precise like the brain behind the gun should.